Okay, so I really wanted to talk about the halachas of snow on Shabbos, because I think that's something that obviously is very timely and something a lot of people wonder about. So I began to prepare the shiur about snow on Shabbos, and the first question is whether or not snow is muktzah. So you have to really back up and figure out where the question begins, and I got so caught up with the origins of that question about whether or not snow is muktzah. So tonight is really a hakdama shiur for figuring out whether or not snow is muktzah. But in and of itself, it's a very fascinating sugya. It's a very fascinating topic that has a lot of ramifications, halacha lemaisa. And then perhaps in the coming weeks, we'll talk about the issues of snow on Shabbos, of shoveling the snow, of all the different things that come up, of melting the snow. So let's begin with the sugya about chumin lemaila me'asara.
Just a
hakdama
to that. Yeah. He once had a rav here. He was a shiur that about shoveling the snow on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Making it
so you're saying I should talk to that Rav first. Okay.
Also mentioned somebody in Flatbush.
Okay. So we'll talk about it. So we'll look into all the nyanim, we'll talk about it, but first we have to deal with this question. The Gemara has a very fascinating sugya in Erevin Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a discussion whether or not yesh tchumin lemaila me'asara or ein tchumin lemaila me'asara. What does that mean? We know that there's a halacha of tchum Shabbos. We spoke in the previous year that we had that Tchum Shabbos is an interesting din. There are many shitas in the Rishonim whether or not Tchum Shabbos is d'oraisa or Tchum Shabbos is d'rabbanan. We generally assume that the whole din of Tchum Shabbos is only mid-rabbanan. Some Rishonim say that maybe Yud Beis Mil, like the Yerushalmi quotes from Rabbi Kiva, that perhaps if one walks beyond Yud Beis Mil, which is Keneged Machane Yisrael, that's how big the Jewish camp was in the Midbar, so perhaps if you walk beyond Yud Beis Mil, that would make you in violation of Tchum d'oraisa, but less than Yud Beis Mil is d'rabbanan. It's a big machlokes, the Ramban and the Rambam, the Ravid gets involved in the machlokes, whether or not Tchumin is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So we generally assume that the whole din of Tchum Shabbos is only mid-rabbanan, perhaps Yud Beis Mil is d'oraisa, but less than that is certainly mid-rabbanan. So now the Gemara wants to know. When we talk about Tchum Shabbos, that means al shetach hakarka. That means the same way in the Midbar they used to travel and they used to walk on the ground level. So we assume that Tchum is extended throughout the ground level. So if I walk on the ground level beyond my city, 2,000 amas outside of my city, then I violate the Isra of Tchum Shabbos. Now what happens, says the Gemara, l'mayla me'asara? What happens when now, somehow, I move from beyond the ground level? Do we assume that Tchum applies above the ground level or not? So what does that actually mean? Let's read the Gemara together. Bari Rav Chananya, the Gemara in Erevin Daf Mem Gimel is a fascinating sugya. Rav Chananya had the following question. Yesh Tchum l'mayla me'asara? So we know there's a din of Tchum Shabbos when I'm living in my city, when I'm walking on the streets in my city. But what about Lamaila Me'asar? What about when it's above 10 Tvachim? Hasar here means Tvachim, not Amos. So what's the halacha? Should we assume that above 10 Tvachim, above the ground level, there should also be a halacha of Tchum Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Ba'amud Gavoa Asar V'rochav Arba. Let's say I have an elevated platform. Let's say I have like the elevated train station, right? So it's above the ground level, it's way beyond 10 tfachim above the ground, but it's amud gavoa asar v'rochav arba. It's 10 high, but it's obviously 4 wide, right? You can walk around on those platforms. It's not like you have to tiptoe around to make sure you don't fall off. So that is an elevated platform. So says the Gemara, when I have something like that, which is 10 tfachim high, but it's 4 tfachim width, 4 by 4, the Gemara says. So then the Gemara says, lo tibayla. That's not a question that Tchum Shabbos certainly applies there. Why? Because that just means that the ground level is now elevated. So the same way there's an Isser of Tchum Shabbos in my own city, so too there's an Isser of Tchum Shabbos if I walk on the elevated train station platform and I walk for miles and miles and then I walk out of the Tchum, so then we assume that I would be in violation of the Isser of Tchum Shabbos. Dika'ara smith tahabi, the Gemara says we assume that once you go above the ground level and it's a normal way of walking there, it's an elevated train station, so then we assume that that's the same way, like the ground level has a Tchum Shabbos, so too up there the Tchum Shabbos would apply equally. Ki tibar loch, says the Gemara, when do I have a suffix? What does the Gemara mean when it has the suffix, whether or not yesh tchum in l'mayla me'asara or ain tchum in l'mayla me'asara? What we're talking about is ba'amud gavoa asara ve'ein orachav arba. Says the Gemara, take for example like this. I live in a regular city, but in the middle of the city I have these strange things, like you have in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and you go to the old city, so they have these big, huge pillars. So they're above 10 tefachim. But on the top of them, how much room is really on top, on that square on the top of them? Very little space. Maybe it's not dalet al dalet, maybe it is, but let's imagine that for a minute, and imagine that it's less than dalet al dalet. Less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So says the Gemara, what happens if I put a bunch of those pillars together, and I have them going for a whole block straight? So now I get to the edge of my city, and I somehow jump up to the top of the pillar, which is 10 tefachim high, and now I start walking from one pillar to the next, to the next, to the next, and I keep walking from one to the next. Am I in violation of Tchum Shabbos when I walk out of the Tchum on top of the pillars or not? What's the question? Says the Gemara, Inami da'ozo b'kvitza. Says the Gemara, second example where this would actually play out would be, if let's say Rashi explains, Ha'yidei Shem, somehow I use Shem HaMefarish and I fly into the air, and I go way out of the Tchum Shabbos, should we assume that I'm in violation of Tchum Shabbos or not? Lishna achrina b'svina. Another application would be, says the Gemara, b'svina. Take for example, what it means is, if I go on a boat, so the boat generally is has to go in very deep water, and the height of the water is a lot higher than 10 tefachim from the bottom of the ocean. You don't take a boat which is touching the bottom. You go on a boat which is way above 10 tefachim from the bottom of the ocean. So says the Gemara, when I'm traveling on that boat, let's say I went on the boat on Sunday, and now I'm on the boat for a week already, you're on a cruise, and when you get to Shabbos, you're right in the middle of the ocean. You're not anywhere near the dry land, so you're right in the middle of the ocean, but now, while Shabbos is continuing, the boat is still traveling around. Maybe you're going chutz l'tchum Shabbos, says the Gemara, perhaps I'm in violation of tchum. So this is the Gemara's question. Rashi over there explains, everything we basically spoke about, Rashi says that this is the question that the Gemara has. So what do you see from the Gemara? It turns out the Gemara has a suffix over here, and it's an ibayi de lo shita. The Gemara does not have an answer to this question. The Gemara leaves it off as an open-ended question. Should we assume that there's a Shabbos hasara or not? Now, the reason why I got into this before looking into the sugya of snow on Shabbos is because the Gemara actually discusses it. What's the halacha when, let's say, snow or rain falls on Shabbos? Should I assume that that's muktza? Why should it be muktza? Well, it comes up from way above the tchum. It comes from way out of nowhere. So the Gemara brings that into this discussion, which we'll get to next week. We're not going to get to it now. But the Gemara starts the discussion of muktza by snow and by rain. The Gemara begins that discussion by first figuring out whether or not that would be an issue of tchum and lemaila me'asar, because the snow and the rain is created in the clouds, which is way beyond 10 tefachim above the ground.
Who says there's a such thing as vertical tchum? Maybe it's only horizontal tchum. It's coming straight down.
Okay.
Who says there's such thing, the concept of vertical tchum?
That's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara's question. Let's say kvitza. Right, but let's say kvitza ayidei shem. The Gemara says, let's say I jump up like this, somehow I say a shame.
You got to go forward. From one pillar to the next.
That's one, but then the Gemara has another application. If, let's say, a person jumps up into the sky using a shem on the first. So this is what the Gemara. So far we have two applications that the Gemara tells us. Number one is, let's say, the Gemara then brings in, what about Eliyahu Navi? We'll talk about that in a few minutes also. We spoke about it Friday night briefly, but for those who were sleeping, we'll say it again. So the Gemara talks about, shouldn't feel bad, Friday night is a good time to sleep. So the Gemara here says we have a few places where this would play out. Tchum l'mayla me'asara is number one. If I use kvitza al-yidei shem, I somehow figure out how to jump up al-yidei shem on the forish, and I go beyond 10 tefachim above the ground level. Or if I go on a svina, if I'm traveling on a boat which is above 10 tefachim from the bottom of the ocean. Or, says the Gemara, if I go on these pillars from one pillar to the next, then the pillar is not like an elevated train station where it's a normal way for me to walk. Rather, the pillar is a little space, so you have to sit and tiptoe from one to the next. So perhaps the whole issue of tchumen was not said there. Why should you say tchumen should not apply there? So the simple understanding that the Rishonim say, the Rajba and other Rishonim say in Maseches Erevin, why should you assume Tchumen wouldn't apply? The Rishonim explain simply, because the whole Isra of Tchumen is patterned off the way they traveled in the Midbar. This is not a normal way to travel. You don't normally walk on top of little pillars that don't have a space for you to walk. That's not normal. It's not normal for you to jump up and use a Shem HaMefarish to figure out how to get into the sky. That's not a normal way of traveling. So therefore the Gemara says, perhaps we should assume that once you're 10 tefachim above the ground, that's no longer considered like part of the karka, like part of the shetach of my city. Maybe it's no longer part of my tchum. And we should assume that the whole issue of tchum doesn't apply in these strange scenarios. Rabbi Kiv Eger even takes it a step further. Rabbi Kiv Eger in the Tshuva, Madura Tinyanasim, and Beis discusses, what about, let's say you have a river. A river in the winter freezes over. Let's say not here, but you go to a place where it's really cold, in Toronto, whatever, in Canada, where you have places that are very cold, in Siberia, and you have a river that actually freezes over and people are walking on the river. So Rabbi Kiv Eger is not sure, what do you say about a place like that? Would you say that because in the winter time people are able to walk on the river? I was told that sometimes you have places where people can even drive on a river. Is it true?
I don't.
Because, right, they skate on top of the river because it becomes so thick.
I don't divide it half in the river and they...
So they go over it. So that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger has a suffix, because it's normal for me to walk on top of the river at certain times in the year, because it's normal for me to skate on top, so perhaps the Isra of Tchum Shabbos does apply there. The same way, it's normal for me to walk on the elevated train station, and we assume that now my Tchum Shabbos extends because it's like the ground level extended, so too when I have a river that freezes over in the winter, perhaps I should say also that that now the halachos of Tchum Shabbos apply to the frozen river. Even though normally in the summertime when the river is wet, that would not be considered a Tchum Shabbos because it's 10 tefachim above the ground level. So that is the question that Rabbi Kiva Eger deals with. And he says perhaps it should apply because people are still afraid to walk on it, meaning I guess it depends how thick it is. He says people are still afraid to walk on it because they might fall through. So maybe it's still not a normal mode of transportation. Okay, so this is an interesting... What?
If we're talking about height, why do we have to worry about less than 4.
Oh, because if you have a little pole on top, and you're going to have to sit and tiptoe from one to the next.
That because it's not the normal way to go in the midbar,
right.
It's higher than 10, right. What does it have to do with width? Nobody walked higher than 10.
What do you mean? I go on elevated train stations all the time.
In the midbar, they didn't go.
No, but the Gemara says that if it's a normal platform on top, even if it's 10 above, so it's as if it's an elevation in the ground level. So now the ground level used to be down here, now the ground level is up there. But if it's just a bunch of pillars, one after the other, you don't assume that's a new ground level, you assume that's just...
It's like,
what?
It's like flying through the air.
Right, that's like flying through the air. That's not a normal way of traveling.
So what about if somebody carries me to the tomb?
Meaning if you don't walk?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's also not normal walking like in the midmar. Somebody,
yeah, but that's, what do you mean? It's a normal mode of transportation to go on a car, to go on a train,
not
right?
A car. Let's say somebody picked me up.
Yeah, so that's...
Walked me to the tchum.
Okay.
Why isn't that a shayla?
No, because that's still, you're getting yourself out of the tchum. That's not...
So if it's just getting out of the tchum, then what's the difference when you get out of the tchum?
So we'll talk about flying on an airplane. Yeah. Talk about that for okay. So we'll get to that. So we'll get to that. So the Gemara says kvitza ide shem. If I figure out how to fly there, that's not normal. If somebody carries me, so that's the same as going on a donkey, going in a car. That shouldn't be so much different. Chassam Sofer has a tshuva.
The issur tchum is not the walking. It's the
being out of the tchum.
Right.
So it's true. So that's right. So that's only the Gemara assumes that's only where the issur tchumen applies. But if you have places where the Isra of Tchumen doesn't apply at all, for example, you're a 10 tefachim above the ground level, nobody ever travels up there. So the whole Isra of Tchumen was never instituted up there at all. So then we should assume that whatever you do upstairs, whatever you're doing in Shamayim, you're going to fly around with the Shemus HaKadoshim, so then we assume that's not part of the violation of Tchum Shabbos. Well, maybe this will become clearer as we get more into this. So what's the halacha? What are we left with? Again, we started off, the Gemara has an Erev in Daf Mem Gimel, Ibai Delov Shita. We have a suffix in the Gemara. What is the halacha when you go above 10 tefachim from the ground level? Should we assume that the Isra of Tchum Shabbos applies, or does it not apply? So in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simon Tav Dalet, what's the halacha whenever we have any Bayi Delav Shita? So generally we assume Safik Yerabanan Lekula, Safik Yeraisa Lechumra. So generally Tchum Shabbos is a Safik Yerabanan. Most of the Rishonim say Tchum Shabbos is only Din Yerabanan. So therefore we would be Mekel. Says the Shulchan Aruch number Beis, Simon Tav Dalet, which is all about, that's in Chelek Dalet Mishnah Berurah, this is all about the halachas of Tchum Shabbos. For example, let's say I'm jumping from one pillar to the next, which is not a normal way to travel. The Gemara is an Ibaidala of Shita. Do we assume that Tchum Shabbos applies in such a case or not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, because Tchum Shabbos is only Midrabanan, therefore we'd be Mekel, and we would assume that if you want to go and jump from one pillar to the next, or you want to use Shemus HaKadoshim and fly up into the sky, then we would assume that that is not a problem. Now the Ramah adds, Mihu, am I yoholich b'derach za'ideh kvitzas Hashem? Mitoch yud beiz mil l'chutz l'yud beiz mil. Let's say you have a person who not only knows how to say Shemus HaKadoshim to fly up into the sky, ten tefachim, but he even knows how to fly up into the sky to go yud beiz mil into the sky. If you can imagine such a thing. So says the Ramah, then azlin l'chumr. Then we have to be machmir. Why? Because again, some Rishonim say, the Ramah holds, that when you're talking about the tchum of Yud Beis Mil, that perhaps might be a din d'oraisa. Again, we spoke about this a week before. So that's what the Ramah says the only caveat is to this discussion. But basically, the halacha is, because it's an ibay d'lev shita, so the suffix would be lakula. So there's another fascinating, and in my opinion, it's a pretty strange application of this question, which comes up in the Shavus Yaakov. So the Shavus Yaakov is one of the great Achronim, and he quotes from the Maharil. He was one of the great Rishonim in the 1300s, The Berhetiv also quotes this on Shulchan Aruch and Simav Chavav when he talks about Hilchos Kiddush Levana. Look at number Gimel at what the Ma'aril says. The Ma'aril writes as follows: Ma'ari Segel Lo Hayim Mekadosh Halavana B'Shum Yamtiv Shechol B'Matzah Shabbos Kigon Chag HaShavuos. Let's say you have Shavuos falls out on Matzah Shabbos and you have to be Mekadosh Levana. So what do? The Yoav Taima, so he says we should never be Mekadosh. Don't do Kiddush Levana Matzah Shabbos. Why not? I'm sorry, when it's Yamtiv night. Kishem sheyesh trumin lamata, kach yesh trumin lamayla. Zok the Maharil, a pellet. The same way there's a din of trumin over here in my city, so too there's a din of trum Shabbos above. And therefore what? Vein the hakbul pnei ashchina biyamtiv chutz l'trum. Mamash a pellet. And the pellet is that everyone takes him seriously. This is quoted in all the tshuvas from the Rashba has a tshuva about it, which we'll see in a minute. The Maharil takes this seriously and he says, you're not allowed to do Kiddush Levana on Friday night or on Yamtiv night, because we're concerned, what? No, meaning Friday night, let's say. Again, the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to wear nice clothing, that's why we have the minhag to do a Matzah Shabbos. All the Achronim mess. So why don't you do it Friday night? That's when you're wearing nicest clothing, you just took a shower, you dressed all nicely, so why don't you say it Friday night? No, Zakti Ma'aril, the reason why not to say it Friday night is because we're concerned it's an issue of Tchumen. What's the concern? What is the concern? Says the Ma'aril. Well, the same way I'm not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum over here, so I'm not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum over there, upstairs. And because it says by Kiddush Levana that is Kila Mekabel Pnei Ashchina, it's as if you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so says the Ma'aril, it's as if you're jumping up to Shemayim and being Mekabel Pnei Ashchina. It's Mamish Apella de Gezach. This is Apella. So we'll get to that. That's a Tzitz Eliezer number. Hey, you'll see in a few minutes. So the Mishneh Berurah has this in Tav Chavav. Mishneh Berurah talks about it, same way the Ber Heitiv does. Mishneh Berurah says, no. I can give you other reasons why we don't say Kiddush Levana on Friday night or Yom Tov night, but this is not the reason. This can't be the reason why. And in fact, the Stechemed writes, what's the reason why we don't say Kiddush Levana? He doesn't say that the reason why is because of the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril doesn't make any sense. No. He says the reason why we don't say Kiddush Levana on Friday night or on Yom Tov night is for a different reason. He says because we're concerned that people don't know Kiddush Levana by heart. So they're going to carry a sitter outside. They're going to walk out without an Erev. So therefore we made a din. No one's allowed to ever say Kiddush Levana Friday night because we're concerned. Similarly, the Mishneh Berurah writes in Tavkuf Bei Gimel that we don't say Tashlich on Shabbos. Why not? Even though the season is going to pass us by, even though you're not going to be able to say it another time, because we're concerned. The people don't know Tashlich by heart. They only say it one time a year. So we're concerned you're going to carry your sitter out to the river and you're going to go Chutz L'Erev. So therefore, we assume you're not allowed to say Tashlich on Friday night. So that, the Stechemet says, is the same reason you don't say Kiddush Levana by Laila. However, so Yom Tov doesn't apply, correct. However, what? Right, so the Ma'aril is saying no. Ma'aril says no, we have a concern, a different consideration. If it was only because of carrying, so Yom Tov is not a problem, you'll carry. Zok the Ma'aril, you're not allowed to say it on Yom Tov. Why? Because we're concerned that it's Ki'ilu, you're going Chutz L'Tchum. So the Shari Tshuva quotes this, and then the Shari Tshuva asks a whole host of questions, a whole list of questions that he quotes from Reb Dovin Oppenheim, who is the Av Beis Din. He says he was the Av Beis Din in Prague. And he said, how can the Ma'aril be correct? Question number one. He says, we have a halacha that everyone has to do Rias Panim Ba'azar. What's the point, says the Gemara? Because you have to be Mekabel Pnei Ashchina. So what does it mean? So I go to the Beis HaMikdash, and now what? I talk to God, I give him a karban, and it's as if I walked up to Shemayim. So we have a halacha that every Yom Tov, we have a chiyuv, that we have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, be Mekabel Pnei Ashchina. So how can you tell me every year about Kiddush Levana? That when you're Mekabel Pnei Ashchina, it's like you're going Chutz L'Tchum. Every Yom Tov we have a chiyuv to be Mekabel Pnei Ashchina. That's what the Torah tells us to do. Number two, asks the Rav David Oppenheim, he says, question number two is, we know the halacha is like we just saw in Shulchan Aruch, that a suffix Rabbanan Lekula. So he says over here, the Gemara is an Ibai Delev Shita. The Gemara says, is there Tchum in Lamayla Me'asara or not? We paskin that suffix Rabbanan Lekula. So why shouldn't you say that you're allowed to do Kiddush Levana if we say that there's a shaila whether Safik Yerabban on the... I'm sorry, if we say there's a shaila whether Tchum and Lamayla Me'asara, so we should say Safik Yerabban on the Kula, go ahead and say Kiddush Levana. Number three, he says, what do you mean? Imagine I'm standing at the edge of my city and my Rebbe or my friend is in the edge of the other city and there's a gap in between, but the Tchum Shabbos doesn't allow us to see each other. So we wave to one another. You're going to say it's like going Chutz L'Tchum? I call out to him, I say, have a good Shabbos. So you're going to tell me I'm going Chutz L'Tchum? I'm not there. I'm just saying hello to him. What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with him? I didn't go to him. He didn't come to me. So how are we in violation of Tchum Shabbos? If I talk to God and he happens to hear me millions of miles away, why does that mean that I was in violation of Tchum Shabbos? What? How do you daven? Yeah, and furthermore, he says, I don't understand. He says, the Gemara says all over the place, If you do this mitzvah, it's kilu makal panei hashchina. If I wear tzitzis, the Gemara says in Menachos, it's like a makal panei hashchina. Hachnasas sarchem is kilu makal panei hashchina. So he says, you're going to tell me on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any of these mitzvahs because it's kilu makal panei hashchina. The whole thing is a pellet. But Rabbi David Oppenheim was not the first one to attack this Ma'aril. In fact, the Rashba himself, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rashba, already doesn't like it. Look at number Dalit, says the Rashba, an interesting chiddush. Masha amarta shematzasi l'Rav Moshe Dekutzi, she'em havarchem birchas halavana b'leilei Shabbos. This that you're telling me, that one of the Rishonim said, that we shouldn't say Kiddush Levana on Leil Shabbos. The Shema Yesh Tchumen L'mayla Me'asara. Why shouldn't we say it? Because maybe there's a din of Tchumen L'mayla Me'asara and Ba'avi Kilo Mekab Pnei Rabba L'mayla Me'asara V'sha'alta Ma'ani Yomer Bazeh. So someone sent this question to the Rashba. What does he feel? Zok the Rashba Tshuva, I'll tell you like this. Le'ikr Tchumen Das Rabosai Nochi Nefesh Ein Tchumen L'mayla Me'asara. First of all, get that problem out of the way. My Rabbeim Hol says the Rashba that there's no Tchumen L'mayla Me'asara. Why? Because again, this is an Ibaidal of Shita in the Gemara. And we say, Safik Darabana Lakula, Zak the Rashba, there's nothing to talk about. Tchum Darabana name, Ubaidal of Shita Hiv, Chal Safik Darabana Lakula, Afil Lechatchila. Mikal Makum. Leinin Birchas Alavana, Lo Yadati Ma'inin Zesha Tchum in Birchas Alavana. I don't know what he's talking about. Says the Rashba, what is he talking about? How can you say there's an issue of Tchumen and that's why you can't say Kiddush Levana Friday night? Ba'od, Shagam HaMavarech Eina Mavarech El HaLavana, El Liyotzer Baruch Hu. I'm not blessing the Levana. I'm blessing the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who is Baruch Eina L'mala Me'asara? Hashem is everywhere. Rashba is the first one who said Hashem is everywhere. V'lo L'mala Me'na Tchumen, Shu L'mala Mikol Zeh Ilei Rav, Ela She'anu Ki Mekab Menei Hashchina B'dini Me'on HaLavana. When we go, when we do Kiddush Levana, it's as if we're Mekab Menei Hashchina, but it doesn't mean we're jumping up to Shemayim. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here anyway. So he says, I don't like the whole thing. You look in the last line, about Dr. Masefer HaMitzvah Shel HaRav Zal, I didn't find this in the first place. The whole thing's a mistake. I don't believe that the whole thing was ever said, Zakhtar Rashba. It's got to be a mistake. Can't be. That's where Devin Oppenheim said, the Shavus Yaakov quotes, he says it can't be. It just doesn't make any sense. Which is so surprising because Rav Waldenberg, when he has his Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer, and he has a whole Tshuva in Chelek Aleph when he talks about what's the issue to talk on a phone on Shabbos. Let's say I don't pick up the phone is picked up already, am I allowed to talk into a receiver of a phone? Tzitz Eliezer writes like this. He quotes this Ma'aril as one of the reasons why you're not allowed to talk on a phone on Shabbos. Such a pellet. The Ma'aril in the first place doesn't make sense. So now you're going to extend the Ma'aril to say this is the reason why something else is usher. Zok the Tzitz Eliezer. Let's read it. It's interesting. Hine l'chora hayamakam. There's a long tshuva just to get one paragraph. Hine l'chora hayamakam leser gam etzer hadibur hatelefoni kishemesochachim b'merchak yoser mitchum Shabbos. It's a joke. He says maybe I should say it's usher to talk on the phone to somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos. Why? Vav kishu l'mayla me'asara nami. Hare be'erevim askinim b'sveika yesh tchum l'mayla me'asara paskinim l'chumar b'yosim yud beiz mil d'havid eraisa. So if I'm calling Eretz Yisrael, it's way out of yud beiz mil, so perhaps I should say that that would be a violation of tchum Shabbos, a pellet. And then he says, kemavur b'shulchan aruch v'gam yesh l'havi smach l'isr zem midivri ha'ma'aril v'od ha'orsum l'kadosh ha'levana b'lel Shabbos mishum d'yesh tchum l'mayla me'asara ve'en l'hakvil p'nei hashchina chutz l'tchum. Zok the Tzitz Eliezer, well, you're not allowed to talk on the phone on Shabbos because the same way you're not allowed to do Kiddush Levana on Shabbos because of the Chutz L'Tchum, so to over here. So this to me is extremely surprising because the whole thing in the first place, the Achronim, the Rishonim say doesn't make any sense. How can the Ma'aril say such a Chiddush? It has to be, I was talking to someone today, somebody said, it has to be that really the minhag always was that you don't do Kiddush Levana Friday night. Ma'aril was pressed to say a reason why you don't say Friday night. He said this reason, but obviously it's not the real reason. It can't be the real reason. It doesn't make any sense. So it's surprising to me that the Tzitz Eliezer uses this as a smach to explain why you can't talk on a phone on Shabbos. There might be other problems, but to say that this is the reason, the whole thing is very, very surprising. Some Sefer has a tshuva as well. What about going on a train? So sometimes you go on, let's say, the Long Island Railroad, so it has a second floor. The bottom floor is not 10 tefachim above the ground. Your seat is closer than 10 tefachim to the ground. I don't know. But let's say the top floor, right? Sometimes you get a seat on the top floor, so what should you say? Maybe you should say, as long as I got on the train before Shabbos, I paid my ticket. Maybe I'm allowed to travel down to Washington, D.C. It's chutz l'tchum, doesn't matter. I'm l'mayla me'asara. So that's some sefer has that shayla. What's the din? He calls it the bun. I don't know what language that's in, but it means a rakevet. What? Yiddish is bun. So, bun?
Ban?
Ban. So that's what he says. So the some sefer talks about the train. Are you allowed to go on a train on Shabbos, or should he say, since the seat that I'm sitting on is higher than 10 tefachim, perhaps I should say that there's no violation. Take, for example, also, people used to go in a horse and buggy. So a lot of times the buggy was way above 10 tefachim from the ground. It's not that. So says Chassam Sefer, no. Why? Because over there, it's attached to the ground. You have the wheels are touching the ground. We don't say that l'mayla me'asar tvachim, any time it's considered l'mayla me'asar tvachim, you say it's out of the tchum. No, that's not what it means. It means, let's say, the Gemara's case is, I jump up, I'm traveling in a strange mode of transportation. Or, I walk on top of the little pillars, that's very hard to walk.
The pillars are connected to the ground.
They're connected to the ground, but it's not a normal way of traveling. So says the Chassam Sofer, you need, number one, a normal way of traveling, and number two, if it's connected to the ground, so then you assume that the ground level has just been elevated, and since this is a normal way to travel on the train, or it's a normal way to travel on the horse and buggy, so then we would assume that the Isra of Tchum Shabbos would apply.
So basically, if you take a slow plane, there's no problem.
Right, that's...
Not on the ground, it's not the wings on the ground.
It's not a normal way to travel.
And it's not as well built.
Right, so let's...
200 miles an hour.
Okay, so we're going to get to that. We're going to get to a plane. Another very interesting halacha that the Gemara has in this context of Tchum L'mayla Me'asara says the Gemara as follows. The Gemara tells us Eliyahu HaNavi cannot come on Shabbos and Yontif. Why can't he come Shabbos and Yontif? Gemara doesn't really explain, but Tosis over there speaks out two reasons why. Number one, Tosis says the reason why is because we're so busy, right? He doesn't want to interrupt our Onik Shabbos. What does it mean? Oh, Nebuch, I'm not going to be able to have my chalent. What's the problem? I worked so hard to make a beautiful meal, and now all of a sudden Eliyahu HaNavi shows up. I have to run outside of the city to go greet Eliyahu HaNavi. What's going to be with my chalent, my potato kugel? Where's my Onik Shabbos? Frek Rabbi Chanan, what do you mean? How can you say such a thing? Onik Shabbos is subjective. Rabbi Chanan says, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, let's say a person, for whatever reason, enjoys fasting on Shabbos more than he enjoys eating. Zuck to Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to fast. Why? Because Onik Shabbos is subjective. Obviously, to a certain point. If I think Onik Shabbos is to prick myself with needles and start bleeding, okay, you don't say that's Onik Shabbos. But if I say, says the Ramah, let's say I feel that it's more enjoyable for me to cry on Shabbos. Let's say I just suffered a terrible tragedy and holding it in is very difficult. And letting out a cry would be helpful to me. Zakta Ramah, of course you're allowed to. Why? Because for me, that's Onik Shabbos. So says the Rabbi Chanan, I don't understand. The Gemara tells us over here that Eliyahu HaNavi will not come on Shabbos Yontif. Why? Because, Tosa says, because of Onik Shabbos. I'm not going to have my chalent. What do you mean? It's subjective. I would much more enjoy my Shabbos this week going to greet Eliyahu HaNavi than going and eating my chalent. So what do you mean? If Onik Shabbos is subjective, I should be allowed to make the choice whether or not I want to enjoy the chalent or I want to go take Eliyahu. Who would pass up Eliyahu HaNavi for the chalent? Chalent is not that good. That's the first shot that Tosa says. But the second shot Tosa says is no. The reason why Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on Shabbos is why? Because Eliyahu HaNavi is way above 10 tefachim from the ground. Eliyahu HaNavi lives in Shemaim. And for him to come chutz l'tchum, to lower himself down, to come to the ground, Zakti Gemara, that he's not allowed to do. So there's an interesting chiddush that they quote. The Talmidei Briska Rav say that they ask the Briska Rav, how can the Gemara say Eliyahu HaNavi won't come Shabbos Yontif? It says, it's one of the animamins. So how do you say that with a straight face? He cannot come today. So what do you say on Shabbos? So the Briska Rav said, yeah, you're right. When Eliyahu HaNavi comes, we'll ask him the Kasha, but just believe that he's coming anyway. Don't worry, we'll worry about it when he comes. But either way, the Ramah says that based on this Gemara, since Eliyahu HaNavi cannot come on Shabbos or Yom Tov, for whatever reason you say, based on this, the Ramah says that's where the Minhag developed to say the Piyut Eliyahu HaNavi on Matzah Shabbos, because since we were waiting a whole Shabbos and Eliyahu HaNavi could not come, so the first opportunity we have for Eliyahu HaNavi to actually come to this world on Matzah Shabbos, right away we say a tefillah, we say a Piyut that Eliyahu HaNavi should come and be Mevasa the Besuris Tovos. So that's what... What? Yeah. Yes, how did the Malachim come? So not only that, the Chassam Sofer has a kasha. He says, so how can you say Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Shabbos? He comes to a bris. By a bris, we all say the Moel gets up and he says, Zehakisa Eliyahu HaNavi Zachla Tov, Amoda Yimini Visamcheni. I want him to help me out. What do you mean help you out? He can't come on Shabbos. If he can't bring us the Geula, so how's he going to come to a bris? So that's the kasha the Chassam Sofer answers. Zok the Chassam Sofer, a big aside. He says, the answer is that Eliyahu HaNavi has two forms. Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes comes as a malach. Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes comes as a human being. So he said, when he comes to be mevaseros with the geula, when he comes la'asad lavo to tell us that the geula shleim is coming, he's going to come as a human being, and he's going to talk to us. So he says, when he's coming in this world as a human being, he has to follow the rules of human beings. When he's coming, Eliyahu malach habris. Eliyahu is the malach who comes to the bris. He doesn't come as a human being. He comes as a malach in that form. So then we assume he's able to come to 1,000 brisin at one time. There's a lot of brisin going on at the same time all over the world. Doesn't matter. He's coming as a malach. He can do whatever he wants. But not only that, says the Chassam Sofer, when he comes in the form of malach, he doesn't have to follow the rules of Tchum Shabbos. He's above that. Malachim follow their own rules. And that, says the Chassam Sofer, is the answer to why, even though the Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi cannot come to bring us the geula on Shabbos or Yom Tov, he still is able to show up to a bris on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So, when you read this Gemara, You have, again, just to wrap all this up so far, and then we'll go further. The Gemara says, we have a suffix whether yesh tchumen l'mayla me'asara or ain't tchumen l'mayla me'asara. The Gemara tells us we have an afkamina for, let's say, a person is traveling in a boat. The boat is above 10 tfachim from the bottom of the ocean. So then we assume that he's not connected to a ground level, so we would assume that perhaps there might not be any issue of tchum over there. So now, the question is, how far do we assume this should go? How far do we assume this should go? So what does that question mean? So Tosis writes as follows. Tosis says there's really three levels that we're describing here. There's the ground level, and 10 tefachim within the ground. That, obviously, no one's disagreeing. That's where the tchum applies, right? So 10 tefachim above the ground is about here. So that's a normal place for a person to be living, to be walking. So then we assume tchum certainly applies. Then you have, the second level is above 10 tefachim from the ground till the clouds. That says Tosfos, there in Memhei, in Erevin. Tosfos says, the whole suffix the Gemara of Tchum L'mayla Me'asara or not is only talking about from 10 tefachim till the clouds. But beyond the clouds, says Tosfos, that's no shaila. That's out of the ballpark. Why? Because that's certainly a different Rishus, that's a different place. That has no connection at all to where we are on earth. So again, Tosfos says there's three levels that we're describing. Level number one is the ground with the 10 tefachim that's adjacent to the ground. Level number two is 10 tefachim to the clouds. Level number three is the clouds and above. So what difference does it make? You'll say, well, okay, very nice, who cares? So Tosis is saying theoretical nafkaminas. No, it makes a big difference. My father pointed out this Tosis to make a big difference, halacha l'maisa. The Mishnah tells us all over the place, the Gemara has this Mishnah, that tumah is bokasva ula adar rakia, bokasva yaredas adar tahom. What does it mean? If Rachmana Litzlan, you have a dead body. So we assume, not only do we say, let's say the dead body is in a room, so we assume that the tumah spreads out to the whole room. Anyone who's in the room with the mace becomes tummit. Let's say you have a dead body outside. So there's no roof above the dead body that's going to make it spread to other people around. But we have a din of Ola mace. If I stick my hand above the dead body, so then we assume that I'm going to become tummit. So how high? How high do we assume that the tumah goes up and down? Oh, so says the Gemara, Adar Rakia. So what does Adar Rakia mean? Let's say I'm flying in a plane. Can a Kohen ever fly in a plane? Because the plane certainly flies over certain Beis HaKvaras.
Like Radia.
What?
Like
Radia, certainly. So that's a different question. One second. Let's say there's no cemetery near the airport. There's only a cemetery. Obviously, if I'm flying thousands of miles, I'm going to pass over a cemetery somewhere. So how is a Kohen ever allowed to fly? The answer is, my father argued, that based on this Tosis you see, that Adar Rakia means until the clouds. Once you go above the clouds, that's what Tosis argues here. Once you go above the clouds, that's already something that's not connected to this earth. That's already beyond. That's already a different Rishus. And we would assume that once you're above the clouds, that halacha of Tchumen is not a Shaila either. But my father extended it that perhaps the din of Tumah, Bokasva, Ola, Adar Rakia only applies until the clouds. And therefore a Kohen, if he's flying above the clouds, would not have this issue. We find a similar din, Reb Shlomo Zalman argues in the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo, says Reb Shlomo Zalman like this. When do we say, Bokas v'yaredes adar tahom? Meaning, if you have a dead body, not only does it go up, but it also goes down. The Rambam writes, what does it mean that it goes down? The Rambam says, Hatuma yaredes hafilu l'kelem hatmunim v'karka tachas mea ama. Let's say there's a treasure chest that's buried 100 amas underneath, beneath the ground, and now you buried someone on top of it. Says the Rambam, we would assume that tumah would be metame, something that's 100 amas beneath the solid earth that's underneath the mace. So how far down does that go?
So what about a coin low flying?
Oh, so one second. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second.
But Adar Rakia means it has to be cloud. It's a clear day.
Oh, no. It means the cloud.
What is the height for that cloud?
What, there's always clouds, right?
No. You can't clear day. There are no clouds.
I think.
I mean, it's got to be a number. You have to have shear.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One day clouds are very high.
Oh, so what does Adar Tahom mean? Sir Shlomo Zalman says like this. I don't know exactly how the globe works, but let's say, for argument's sake, let's say somebody dies in China. Let's say China and New York are opposite each other. I don't know. But let's say somebody dies in China, and you're going to say they bury him in the ground, so now I'm standing on the other side of the earth. You're going to say, well, it's Bokasva, Adar Rakia, Bokasva, Yeredes Adar Tahom. The world is round. So you're going to say, now every coin is going to become Tameh because somebody's buried on the other end of the world. Can't be. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman. So what's the Gvul? What's the limit? He says, we know that the earth has a core in the middle. So he says, Adar Tahom means till the middle of the earth. That's it. It doesn't go all the way through. Tahom doesn't mean through and through. Tahom means till the depth. The same way Rakia means until the sky. So once you hit the sky, once you hit the clouds, that's already considered a different rishus. So too says Rav Shlomo Zalman, once you hit the depth of the earth, which is the core of the earth, so then we assume the tumah doesn't go through, and that's why he says that a person, a kohen, who's walking around in New York would not have an issue with somebody who's buried in China. So now, this is very nice. The problem is, in Eretz Yisrael, they still had an issue. Why is it an issue? Because they had a cemetery right by the Ben-Gurion airport that the planes used to go right over before they got to the clouds. They flew directly above the cemetery. So this is a major shaila. Everybody discussed the shaila, and this is a major problem. So how does a kohen ever go on a flight to or from Eretz Yisrael if you know that the flight, either on its way up or on its way down, is going to go directly above the cemetery, and the kohen will thus become tamei with a tumas oil? So you're going to say, well, I'm in my own rishus, correct? I'm in a plane.
The plane stops it.
Huh? You're going to say the plane is mafsik. Oh, so that's not so clear. Number one, because the planes are made of aluminum. Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva, whether or not aluminum is considered a chatzitza, might not be a real keli. That's number one. We see a plane flying, you say it's a real keli. Okay, but the question is, it has to be of a certain material, the Mishnayos and Olos. So Rav Moshe argues that perhaps aluminum might not be enough to be chotzitz. Number two, when the plane is flying, we call that a the Gemara has a case, the word is slipping my mind, an oil zaruk, the Gemara calls it. When you have an oil that is flying in the air, that's not considered an oil to be mafsik because it's not permanent. That's what the Gemara assumes. So Rav Moshe talks about, number one, the aluminum, and number two, you have the problem of an oil zaruk because the plane is flying around. So like the Gemara has about talis hamanaf nefes, if you have a talis that's flying around in the wind, so that also won't constitute a chatzitza because it's not stationary. So too over here, when you have a plane that's flying above, that will not be considered an oil to be mafsik from the tumah beneath. So this is a major problem. How does a kohen ever go on a flight to or from Eretz Yisrael? I think now they change the flight pattern. But originally, when they had it going directly over a cemetery when he got right to the airport, so how is a kohen ever allowed to go on? So my father suggested the following chiddush. Obviously, everybody had their own idea of how you can get around the problem. But my father suggested the following very interesting chiddush. And it goes as follows. The Shach quotes, a very famous Shach in Yerudea Simon Shin Ayin Aleph, quotes from a Rokeach. The Rokeach is one of the great Rishonim. So the Shach quotes that when you have an Eshes Kohen Meuberes, when you have a wife of a Kohen that's pregnant, so the Shach said the Shach says she's allowed to go into a funeral. Why is she allowed to go into a funeral? What?
An Eshes Kohen could be Metamim anyway.
She could be Metamim. Maybe she has a boy inside. Oh, that's exactly what the Rokeach says. Says the Rokeach, we have a Svek Sveka Lahakel. What's a Svek Sveka? Number one, maybe it's a Nefil. Maybe the baby's not going to stay alive, so it's no problem. Number two, says the Rokeach, maybe it's a girl, and there's no issue for a girl to be Metame Lemason. So he says the woman doesn't have to go and be worried, maybe it's a boy. We have a Svek Sveka that tells us to be Mekel. So says the Rokeach, this is quoted in the Shach, a pregnant Eishes Kohen is allowed to enter a funeral, and she doesn't have to worry because we have a Svek Sveka Lahakel. Ask the Magen Avraham. Why do you have to say the reason why it's mutter is because you have a Svek Sveka Lahakel? Maybe it's a Nefil, maybe it's a girl. So 75% chance that you're allowed to be Metame, there's no problem. Ask the Magen Avraham. There's a much simpler reason why she should be allowed to go. Very simple reason. What's the reason? Look at number Zayin. You have a Mishnah on Chulin Daf Ayin Aleph. Ha'isha Shamesa Vlada. Again, this is all just an introduction to get to the sugya of whether snow is muktzah on Shabbos. We'll get back there next week. But this is just by way of getting there. So it says the Mishnah, Chulin Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Ha'isha Shamesa Vlada B'soch Me'ah. Let's say, Rachmana L'tzlan, you have a woman who's pregnant, and she's far into the pregnancy, not within the first 40 days when it's Maya Ba'alma. She's far into the pregnancy enough that there's a Vlad already forming inside of her. So now the Vlad dies. She realizes there's no more movement. We know that the child is dead. And she schedules DNC? Mm-hmm. Right? So you schedule a DNC, but they say you have to wait a week. You have to wait a week in order for this to be done. We don't have room in the hospital right now. So she waits a week, and she has a child that's dead inside of her. Now, I know somebody that actually had the shaila. I know someone whose wife, unfortunately, had a miscarriage after it comes out. But she knew that she had a child who, for some reason, died. There was a termination, and they told her that she had to wait a few days until they were able to schedule a DNC. And the problem is that she lived in a building with a kohen. So it's a major problem. So this is exactly this Mishnah in Chulin. Says the Mishnah like this. When you have a woman who has such a situation, upashta chayas yada v'nagaba, let's say the midwife sticks her hand inside of the rechem to figure out, is this child alive or not? And it actually, she actually touches the child. Hachaya tumeya tuma shiva. So we assume that since she touched the child with her own hand, so we assume that now the midwife becomes tameh. V'ha'isha tohara chayetze avlat. So interesting. You have a woman who's carrying a dead baby. So we assume that the woman is tahar. There's no problem. Why? Because the child wasn't born yet. If the midwife sticks her hand in and touches the vlad, even though the woman herself is touching the vlad, okay, but you say it's in a sack, whatever, it's a chatzitza, whatever it might be, but over here, if you have the midwife actually touches the vlad, so then she becomes tamei. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabba, kishem shatuma balua ena matame, says the Gemara. That's called tuma balua. Why is it not matame the woman? Why is it not matame everybody in the room? Says the Gemara, no, because that's called tuma balua. Take, for example, the Gemara gives a case. Let's say I have a ring, I swallow a ring, and now I walk into a funeral. And then later on, for whatever reason, the body does not digest the ring, so the ring comes out whole. And I'm no longer in the room with the mace. So I am now tame because I entered a room, I went to a funeral. But the ring came out at the time when I was in the Ola mace, the ring was inside of my stomach, inside of my body. So do we assume that when the ring comes out, it is now tame because I was tame, I walked into the room, so anything that's a part of me is also tame? Says the Gemara, no. Why? Because that's called tahara balua, which means if I swallow something and it's totally swallowed up, it's concealed, it's closed, it's not part of what's really visible in this room, says the Gemara, we assume tahara balua does not become tame. So even though I walked into a levaya, even though I was in contact with a mace and there was something inside of me, but since it was wrapped up inside of me and it was balua, so we assume that it does not take on the characteristics of tuma. That's the assumption. Similarly, says the Gemara, tuma balua ena metame. When you have a dead child, unfortunately, inside of a woman, so we assume that that is not metame everything else that comes in contact. Why? Because that's like concealed. It's in itself. It's as if it's in its own rishus, like we don't have to worry about it. So this is the halacha. Says the Magen Avraham. If the halacha is that tara balua is not considered like it's here, so the Magen Avraham asks, I don't understand. Why does the Rokeach have to go to such lengths to explain why a Isha Muberis, an Eshes Kain Muberis, is allowed to go to a funeral? He says because it's a Svek Sveka. Maybe it's a Nefel, maybe it's an Akeva, and there's no Isha for an Akeva to be Metame. What do you mean? Say simply, it's Tahara Balua. The child is in a sack of its own. Tuma Balua, Tahara Balua, the same thing the Gemara says. So it's as if the child is in his own Rishus, in his own place. So what's the concern here? Ask the Magen Avraham, he blies with the Tzarachian. Why does the Rokeach have to make up this whole pshetel to say why a woman's allowed to go to a funeral? He should just say simply, because it's Tahara Balua, and Tahara Balua is not a problem. We don't consider it like it's here. That's the question of the Magen Avraham. Explains Rabbi Chanan Wasserman together with Rabbi Chaim Ozer. He was a nephew of Rabbi Chaim Ozer, I think. So they both say the same shot. It's a big chiddush, but this is what they say. What you see from here is, what you see from this shach, from this Rokeach, is a tremendous chiddush. I always thought that the Isra of Tumas Kohanim is a coin is not allowed to become tameh. No? Well, nefesh lo yitameh ba'amav means don't come in contact with a mace. No. Zakar Bachanan and the Achiezer, Rabbi Chaim Ozer, has the same chiddush, that no, that's not the definition, that's not the parameter of the Isra of Tumas Kohanim. What is the Isra of Tumas Kohanim? Suggests Rabbi Chanan, perhaps the Isra is shalo yiskarev el mace. It's not so much that I'm not allowed to be metameh, it's that I'm not allowed to come close to a mace. Interesting. And that will go in both directions. Meaning, let's say I come close to a mace and I don't become tame. For example, the child. This is the way Rabbi Chanan explains the shach. For example, you have a woman who's pregnant, who walks into a funeral home. You'll say, Tahara Balua, the child is not tame. So why should she not be allowed to walk in? Says, ah, well, the reason she's allowed to walk in is because maybe it's an Eiffel, maybe it's in a cave. What do you mean? Why don't you say it's Tahara Balua? There's nothing to worry about. No. Says Rabbi Chanan, you do have something to worry about. Because that child, if it's a zachar, if it's a boy, is still being miskarev el ha-meis. Still becoming close, in close contact with a mace. And that's the issur, that's the definition, that's the understanding of the nefesh le'itama ba'amav. When we say that a kohen is not allowed to be metame to a mace, it doesn't mean he's not allowed to be metame, it means he's not allowed to be miskarev el ha-meis. And therefore, even if you're going to be miskarev in a way which is not going to make you tame, you're still violation of the issur of the nefesh le'itama ba'amav. That's a tremendous chiddush that Rabbi Chanan suggests. And this has a lot of interesting ramifications, but when you think about when you go on a plane, let's say, so now you're going to be flying in a plane. So the suggestion that my father gave was that perhaps when you're flying in a plane, even though you're being metame yourself by flying over a Beis HaKvaros, but the bottom line, once you hear this chiddush of Rabbi Chanan and Rabbi Chaim Ozer, is that the iser is not to be metame yourself. The iser of the nefesh lo yitame ba'amav is not that I'm not allowed to physically become tame. Rather, it's shelo yiskar velameis, shelo yiskar velatumah. So when I'm in a plane and I'm flying 100 miles an hour over a cemetery, I'm not being miskar velameis. I'm not close to anything. I can't get there. There's no way I can get there. I'm not being miskar at all. So my father suggested, based on all this chiddush, and obviously there are a lot of rayas, can't get into all of them now, it's a little bit of a complicated issue, but basically he suggested a tremendous chiddush that maybe that's why it's mutter. That even though a kohen knows when he gets onto that halal plane, he knows that they're going to fly not above the clouds, that they're going to fly over a cemetery. He knows that right here they're going to fly 20 yamas over the ground, they're going to fly over a cemetery. So what's the heter for him to get on the plane? The answer perhaps is that the whole definition of the iser tumas kohanim is that he's not allowed to be miskar v'lameis. And when he's inside of an airplane, I don't call that being miskar v'lameis, because I'm not bringing myself close to the mace at all. There's an interesting pischei tshuva in Yerideya in Simon Shin Samach Tes, where he discusses whether or not a kohen is allowed to be metame to afar hames. What does that mean? Take for example, sometimes you have, unfortunately, people do cremation, right? So you have, I know someone else that had this also, that he was yarish a lamp from his great aunt, and not knowing, his kids were playing with it once, and it turned out there were ashes in the middle of the lamp. So what was that? It was his great uncle. Put the great uncle's ashes inside of the lamp, and now the shaila was, what do you do with such a thing? So this is a big shaila. You can't make this stuff up. So the pischei tshuva. So Pischei Tshuva actually discusses, is there an iser for a kohen to be metame to afar hames? So what do you mean? What's the question? Once the mace is burnt, once it's ashes, so it's not a mace anymore. Lost all the properties of a mace. So this is an interesting question. The Mishnah says in Olos that afar srufa meina metame. If you burn somebody up and now they're just left with ashes, it's not metame. So how could some achronim say that a kohen might not be able to be metame, might not be able to come in contact with the afar hasrufa? What do you mean? The Mishnah says beferish, afar hasrufa meina metame. So if it's not metame me, why should the kohen not be allowed to go touch it? So perhaps the idea is like that also. My father suggested maybe the pshat in those achronim is, why is a kohen not allowed to come in contact? Because even though it's not metame, the bottom line isra of the nefesh la yitame ba'ama for a kohen is not whether or not he becomes tame. That's not what we're worried about. What we're worried about by a kohen la nefesh la yitame ba'ama is shalei yiskar v'lameis. So over here where he's handling the afar hasrufim, even though it might not be metame, but he's being miskar v'lameis, he's still coming close in contact with the nifter, even though he's now in a stage of afer, he's in a stage of ashes, and he's no longer really metame, but still perhaps we have to be worried that the kohen is in violation of l'nefesh lo yitame ba'amav. So with this sugya of Tchumen L'mayla Me'asara, and all of its ramifications, which are quite interesting, we will amir Hashem continue next week to figure out whether or not snow, which is created, L'mayla Me'asara Tvechem, snow which is created above from the region of the clouds, and it comes down into the earth, it comes down into our Rishus, we now understand the origins of that Shaila. This Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, discusses what's the status and halacha of snow. Should we assume that that's something that's coming mechutz l'tchum? Should we assume that that's something that's nolad? Should we assume that it's muktzah because it's something that just was created out of nowhere? The same way the Mishnah says, Beitza shenolad may be yamtif. If a Beitza is born, something is nolad, it comes out of nowhere, yesh me'ayin. Maybe we should assume that's muktzah. So Amir Tzashom will get into that next week. But this was just the background for all of that question.